This year, of course, we're learning the Masechet Chulin, as we've already announced. And we're going to begin with a little bit of... Can everybody hear me? A little louder? If you can't hear me, just let me know. We're going to begin with a little bit of an introduction. That's the well-established pattern in these shiurim. And what we're going to do is take a little bit of a survey the history of halakhic carnivorous diet, which also happens to work very nicely with Parshas HaShavua. We just read Parshas Bereishis, and this week we're reading Parshas Noach. So in addition to everything else, we'll be current with the... Exactly, of course. Either that or Hashgacha, you know, one or the other. So we're going to be beginning with this. But not to disappoint, you know, we always have every year we do this, not to disappoint the tzibur who brought their gemaras. So we'll actually begin for a minute or so with the gemara itself. The Mishnah, everybody has a, I'm assuming everybody has a gemara chulin. It's not, see, you know the pattern, right? So I've already succeeded as far as I'm concerned, having confounded you. So the again, it won't. If you don't have a Gemara in front of you, it's not so terrible either. We're just going to be reading a few lines, but the Mishnah begins: Hakol shochtin u'shchitasan ksheir. Mishnah begins that anybody can be involved in the act of shchita. As we move on through the weeks and analyze this parak, we'll see that it's not so simple. Obviously, there are some people who are disqualified or excluded from being a shochet, but for the moment, the Mishnah seems to be very inclusive. Hakol shochtin u'shchitasan ksheira. The shchita is ksheira. Chutz, even now, there are some exclusions. Chutz mikheresh shota v'katan. That a person is a katan, he's a minor, or is a cheresh v'shota. Now exactly what that means are different types of cheresh and shotas, but we're talking about the ones that are legally unreliable, incompetent. If somebody is of that category, so then their shchita is disqualified. Shema yekalkalu es hashchita, because we're worried that they will do an improper shchita. They'll disfigure the shchita, and they won't do it properly. The kulan sheshachtu, but then the Mishnah says, anybody who does a shchita, v'acherim ro'en osan, and it's witnessed by people who are competent, gedolim, in other words, shchitasan ksheir, the shchita is going to be effective. So the Gemara immediately zeroes in on what appears to be a stira, a contradiction in the Mishnah itself. The Gemara says, hakol shochtin l'chatchila. When the Mishnah says hakol shochtin, it sounds like everybody, even the chatchila, is allowed to practice the art of shchita. But then we're told, ushchitasan ksheira, which has the definite tone of a b'dieved. The Gemara says, d'ieved. So what's going on here? Then the Gemara says, amar l'rabacha b'rei d'rava, l'rabashi, v'kol hachol l'chatchila hu. Every time it says v'chol, that implies l'chatchila, which of course is the assumption of the stira, that v'kol shochtin means l'chatchila, and shchitasan ksheira means b'dieved. Then the Gemara challenges that, and we'll get to that when we get to it, but not right away. What's the answer to the Gemara? So if you skip to the base of the base for a moment, the first answer to the Gemara, and according to many Rishonim, the maybe the most authoritative answer of the Gemara, is the answer that goes as follows. If you look here, it is... 1 second. Amar Rabba Bar Ula. Hachi Katani. This is 3, 6, 9, 12, about 14 lines down from the top of the page on Beis Amid Beis. Count down 14 lines, I think. You'll correct me if I'm wrong. You see the little gimel in the text of the Sheet Mekubetus, one line on top of that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Ula, Hachi Katani. What the Mishnah means is as follows. Hakol Shochtin, Vafil Tamei Bechulin. Even if a person is Tamei, right, and he's now shechting the Behemas Chulin, which is neutral, it's not Tamei, He's allowed to do that, even lechatchila. So the Gemara says, Tamei b'chulin ma'lememra. What are you talking about? If something is chulin, by definition, there's no concept of tumah v'tahara. We don't really care if somebody is tamei if he's involved with chulin. We only care if somebody's tamei if he's involved with panchim. So the Gemara says, v'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. We're talking about a situation where a person commits to conduct himself, to behave regarding his chulin as if it were kodesh. Since he's committed to treating his chulin as kodesh, and he is tamei, so what we're being told is, nonetheless, even though he's tamei and he's committed to treating the chulin as kodesh, nonetheless he can do the shechita. Why? The kasavar chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kekodesh damu. This mandamar holds that if you make such a commitment, that it's binding, that there is such an idea of chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, and therefore we're talking about exactly the situation. Ketzad hu osa, but if that's the case, he has to treat his chulin as if it's kodesh. How can somebody who's tamei be involved in the equivalent of kodesh? So the Gemara says, Ketzad hu osa, maybe sakin aruka, he takes a very long knife, right? V'shochet ba, and he shechts so that he doesn't have to touch the behema itself. He uses the long knife for that. Kadesh la'iga b'basa. So why does the Mishnah then say shchitasan ksheira, which sounds like b'di'eved? So the Gemara says, ubin mikdashim lo yishkot shema yiga b'basar. Vim shachad b'omer barali shalom negati shchitaso ksheira. But the way to read the Mishnah, according to this manda amar, Rabba Barula, is as follows. Hakol shoktin, if a person commits to eat chulin as if it is kodesh, mean to treat his chulin as if it's kodshim, he is still lechatchila, even if he's tamei, allowed to do a shechita as long as he uses a long knife and doesn't touch the hema direct, doesn't touch the basar directly. We'll explain. I'll tell you why I'm focusing on this in a minute. However, if it's real kodshim and he's tamei and he wants to engage in this kind of, you know, mechanism, he wants to use a long shechita knife in order to cut the basar of kodshim, that he's allowed to do only b'di'eved if he says barili shelo negati b'basar. Chutz mishkei reshota v'katan, that's why the Mishnah continues, except the echei reshota v'katan v'afilu b'chulin gredi, even in regular chulin, the Eved Namilo, we don't trust their shechita, we don't trust their competence. Shema Yishu, Shema Yidrusu, Shema Yachlidu. Because there are all sorts of mistakes that they can make, the details are not important for right now, in the process of shechita. It's an art, and it requires training, and we don't trust the Katan and Cheresh and Shota to carry it out. The Kulan Sheshachtu, oh, okay, that's the Gemara. Okay. Let me read another couple of lines. The kulan sheshachtu ahaya, the Gemara says, so when the Mishnah says, continues and says, the kulan sheshachtu, what does that refer to? Ilei machei reshota v'katan, they say in the presence of Gedolim, who's going to watch them, everybody will admit it's okay. If we're talking about chei reshota v'katan, alokai, the im shachtu mibaylei, you shouldn't say the kulan sheshachtu, you should say the im, because you're talking about chei reshota v'katan, they're disqualified. We say, Keresh of the Katan are disqualified. However, if there's a Gadol who is supervising them, then it's kosher. You shouldn't say, and if they, you should say, the im shachtu. Ela atame bechulin. It must refer to somebody who's tame, who's trying to cut chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, the chulin that he treats as kanshim. So the Gemara says, Amris v'chatchila nami shachet. That's not b'di'eved, that's even l'chatchil, as long as you're using a long knife. The ela atamei b'mukdashim. It must be talking about, we're talking about a case of real kodshim. A person wants to be a shochet of kodshim, and normally if he's tamei, we don't allow him, even with a long knife, because we're worried that something amiss will happen. And we're being told that b'di'eved it works. So the Gemara says, b'barali sagi. We don't need a gadol omeda. We don't need people to watch him. As long as he tells us nothing untoward happened, we should believe him. So the Gemara says, the Leisa Kaman de Neshaila. Let's say he did a Shechita and he ran away. Or he went away, he went on a trip. We can't contact him, we can't ask him where the place. But there was a Gadol, Omid Al Gavim, there was somebody supervising who said everything went fine. So we're being told that B'di'eved, you can rely on that Shechita. So the Gemara says, Hai Tamei B'mukdashim Mehachin Apka. So what are you now saying? This is really what I'm interested in. That this Mishnah in the beginning of Masechet Chulin, which speaks Stam, it doesn't mention in the Mishnah that it's talking about Tahara or Chulin Shanasu Al Taharas HaKodesh Chulin that we treat like Kodshim. Simple reading of the Mishnah, we're talking about your local butcher, right? And him being qualified to shecht an animal to provide kosher meat for you and for your neighbors. So now you're telling me that this Mishnah, which says nothing explicit about a Tamei or about Chulin Shanasu Al Taharas HaKodesh, that really it's talking about all these exotic cases? After all, if that was what it was talking about, Hai Tamei B'mukdashim Mehachanafka Mehasamnafka. We have a Mishnah in Masechet Zvachim. Zvachim is the right place for it, because Zvachim speaks about Karbonos. So the Gemara says, Mishnah says there, Kolapsulim Shashaktu Shkitasam Kshera Shashkita Kshera Vizarin. The rule is that even though the other avodos, we'll speak about this soon, in Kadshim, right, there are various stages that you have to go through in Kadshim. So there are four main ones. The first one is Shkita. The next one is Kabbalah Sadam. You receive the blood of the animal, the sacrificial blood. Then there is Holacha. You carry the blood to the Mizbeach. And then there is Zrika, where you actually sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach. There are four stages of a karma. So even though the others are psulim bizarre, has to be done only by a kosher kohen. Shechita is ksherah bizarre, benashim, bavadim, ubitzneim. Even somebody who's tamei, as long as he's not touching the basar, can be a shochet of kadshim. Now, filu b'kadshe kadashim. Not only in light kadshim, like Pesach or Maaser Behema, but even kadshe kadashim, like a chatas and an asham. Ubavad shelo yutzneim nogim b'basar, as long as he doesn't actually touch the meat. So, if there's an explicit Mishnah in Zvachim that says that somebody not touching the meat, even if he's Tameh, can shecht, even Kadshim, why do we need the first Mishnah in Chulin to be speaking about this case? So the Gemara says, Haka Ikar, Hasam, Aide de Tani Shar Psulim, Taminami, Tameh B'Mukdashim. It's true. Tameh B'Mukdashim is mentioned in the Mishnah in Zvachim, but that's not the main topic there. It's mentioned there, agaburka, inter alia, right, unkasav. It's talking about other things. It mentions this as well. The main source that you can be shochet kodshim, as long as you don't actually touch the basar, even though you're tamei, is this first mishnah in chulin. Ibai same, another answer. Hasam ikar. You're right. The main makar for that halacha is a mishnah in zvachim. Dibik kodshim kai. Hacha aidi detani. Tamei b'chulin, taninami, tamei b'mukdashim. But here, it's agav orcha, since we're talking about a tamei in chulin, so we're talking about a tamei in kachim as well. This is Rabba... I'm sorry?
How does someone's tamei go into the harabais?
That's a good question. So the Bali Tosis and others speak about that as well. We'll get to it at the right time. What? Again, a long night, but the question he's asking not only, well, you know, how does he get even... where is he standing? Is he... You know, so right, there's discussion about it. Okay, the Bali tells us to discuss it. Even longer, you mean? Okay, so we'll discuss it when we get to it, but it's not for now. Okay, why did I begin with it? Well, we have a Mishnah. Mishnah says Hakol Shoktin Shkitasan Cheir. The Gemara asks the question: isn't that a stira? L'chadchila b'di'eved. The first answer in the Gemara, and according to many Rishonim, the main answer of the Gemara is this answer of Rabba Barula, which is that we're talking about a person who's tamei, who's using a long knife to shecht what we call chulin she nasu altaros akodesh, and the b'di'evit is even kodshim. And then the Gemara is saying, well, what does this got to do with Masechet Chulin? Isn't this a Masechet Zvachim issue? And the Gemara gives two answers. One, this is the main makar. The other is, it's really, you're right, it's primarily a Zvachanish. Okay. Why do I...
Setting the tone for what Shlita is.
So this is what I want to suggest. Let me take a one step back and ask a second question. And that is, Masechet Kulin is found where? Mishnah is Kulin, Masechet Kulin. Kodshim. But we're talking about Kulin, not about Kodshim. So the Rambam already asked this question in Pirshim Mishnayis, not here, but in his Akdama to Zroim. Akdama to Zroim, which of course is the beginning of Mishnayis. So the Rambam discusses the order of all the Mishnayis. And whenever there's one that seems, or whichever one seemed to be out of place, the Rambam tackles, tries to explain what, why is Avos in the Zikin, and so on and so forth. So one of the questions that he asks is, why is Kulin in Kodshim? It's Kulin, it's not Kodshim. That's his question. The Shita Mekubet says, in the beginning of Kulin, not the, we have part Shita Mekubet, we have the some of the shorter form of the Girsos here, but there's a safer Shita Mekubet says on Kulin, which has much longer pieces. So he begins with this. He says, what's Kulin doing in Kodshim? And he quotes the Rambam in Pirshim Mishnayis in Zroi. There the Rambam says, gives a kind of a technical answer. The Rambam says, if you look at the Psukim in Parshas Re'eh, which we're going to look at soon, so the Psukim in Parshas Re'eh speak about Shechitas Kodshim in the context of, Shechitas Kulin in the context of Kodshim. It's talking about Karbanos, and how if you have a Karban, you always have to remember to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. You can't do it in your backyard. Right? B'mokom asher yivchar. In that context, it mentions Shitas Kulin. So the Rambam says, if you look carefully, the Psukim, the Rambam, the Rebbe, the Masader of the Mishnayis, the editor of the Mishnayis, is going according to the stage of the Psukim. And that begins with Zvachim Menachos Min Kodshim. And after Kodshim, we take a step back and we speak about Shitas Kulin, and that's the reason for the order. My only question is, that's a very good answer, but maybe it begs the question. Maybe we should transfer our question from the order of the Mishnayis to the order of the Psukim. Why is it true that Shechitas Kulin is spoken of in the middle of, in the context of, a discussion of Kodshim? And it's even more striking in the context of Mishnayis. So what I'm trying to suggest is it a coincidence? This is a question, and that's the Rambam's answer. And then we have the first Mishnah, and basically you can read into the Mishnah whatever you want in terms of the language. The language is very open. But the Gemara is telling us, at least the first answer of the Gemara, that actually what we're talking about here, the very first case of the Mishnah, is Tamei Bechulin Shenasu Al Taharas HaKodesh and Tamei Bekodshim. And the Gemara itself is discussing, does it belong in Zvachim? Does it belong in Kulin? Later on, about Gimel Amud Beis, we're not there yet, but on Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says that one of the reasons that the other Amoraim didn't like this answer is because they felt that this is all a Zvachim discussion. It's not really a proper way to begin Masechet Kulin. Can't be that the anonymous case of the Mishnah is a case of Kulin Shenasu Al Taharas HaKodesh and Kodshim. Can't be. It must be that it's talking about other things. A Mumar L'Teyavon, a Kuti, so on and so forth. Because after all, otherwise, it would belong in Zvachim, it wouldn't belong here in Kulin. So I'd like to suggest, both to answer the Rambam and to reinforce it by this view in the Gemara, is that maybe, Kulin's Shechita comes from the world of Kodshim. And that is something which may have extremely important significance, not only halachically for certain issues, but also hashkafically. And to explain that, I want to go back to the beginning, to Bereshis. And what I want to do is have a little bit of a survey of Shechita in Torah Shebichtav, where it appears, how it appears, and its history. Okay. So we begin, let's say, with the beginning, Bereshis. The Torah tells us in the parasha that we just read, Vayivarech Hashem Elokim, right, Adam is put in Adam or Adam and Chava, or Adam and Chava, the two-headed creature, whatever the case may be. by Baruch Hashem Elokim. So he's put into Gan Eden and he's given a bracha. Vayomer Lahem Elokim, Pru Urvu Milu Es Aretz VeKivshua Uredu Bidgas Hayam UBaOf HaShamayim UBeKol Chaya HaRomeses Al Haaretz. So we're being told that man is given a special bracha. He's given sovereignty, a higher level, in other words, in the hierarchy of beings in the world order. Right? He's told, Redu bidgas hayam ba'uf hashamayim b'kol chaya remes al ha'aretz. Right? He has a special status, as the Ramban will soon explain. Even from the very beginning, the world was created in an anthropocentric way. Man is the center of the world, right? These are the other beings, obviously, not created by the Rabbanu Shalom. And then there's a restriction, there's a limitation in this lofty status. Vayomer Elokim, hinei nasati lachem eskol esav zera zareya al pnei kol haaretz, veskol ha'esav sherbo pri'etz, right? Zera zareya lachem yet l'akla. Basically, the Torah tells us that the diet of Adam HaRishon should be limited to fruits and vegetables, right? A vegetarian, what we would call today a vegetarian diet. Ulekol chayas aretz, ulekol ofa shamayim, ulekol rameis ala aretz asher bo nefesh chaya, es kol yarek esev la'achla, bayichem. Torah tells us not only is man limited to this diet, but the other animals as well. And this, of course, is a very fascinating addition, because the point is that even though man is superior to the animals, and in some respect they are created to serve and to facilitate his life on earth, nonetheless, Torah is telling us, A, you can't eat them, B, their diet, your diet, are the same. So even as there are important differences, important things that differentiate man from animal, when it comes to diets, there are, it seems there are an equal setting.
What was
now,
Lamech
I'm going to.
Doing when he killed Cain?
Sorry?
What was Lamech actually thinking he was doing when he killed Cain? Lamech was hunting. So why was he doing something wrong? I mean, what was.
Possibly. I mean, I'm going to operate. We're not up to Lamech yet, but I hear the question. Maybe we'll get back to it. You know, it's possible that he was, you know, hunting not for food, but we'll try to relate to that later. You also have the story of Cain and Hevel. Hevel brings some sort of a korban, although again, it could be an ola. The Pashtus, it's an ola. I mean, the Mepharshim said that it's an ola, but let's hold off on that for a moment. I'm going to develop this in light of the Ramban in particular. Sorry?
Does this apply to that they were vegans, not just vegetarians? Eggs?
It's not clear. What we're told is that they were, you know, allowed to eat only from the Desha, Esev, and the Priates. Possibly. Possibly. Okay. I'm going to develop this, let's say, according to the Ramban. There are other views in the Mepharshim, but I think the Ramban is very, very consistent in his view and very compelling. So I'm going to, you know, since I don't want this Hakdama to last forever, so we're going to stick mostly with the Ramban. Now, I produced some of the Rambans on the page. It's a bit misleading because you really have to go to the Psukim and dig out the Rambans, and then you really see the consistency. It seems more obvious on the page, but the reason I'm saying that is because, you know, to encourage people to, we're at the beginning of the cycle of Mavra Sedra, going through the Sedra every week with the Rambans is something that pays tremendous dividends, as I think this small example will attest. The Ramban immediately, right here in Bereishis, zeroes in on his view of the status of things. Hine nasati lechem kol esav zareya zera, lo hir shaladam l'ishto l'ham izbiria v'lecho basar. And the way the Ramban has it, not allowed to kill any animal in order to eat meat. Ach kol yerek esav yochlu yachtav kulam. Again, the Ramban picked up on this idea. Not only man has a vegetarian diet, animal has a vegetarian diet, by putting the psukim together, which the Ramban is also doing, yochlu yachtav kulam. What we're being told is that man and animal have the same diet. I mean, we can figure that out once we know that man can only eat the following and animal can only eat the following. But what the Ramban is saying is it isn't just a coincidence And it isn't just what they're not allowed to eat. The point of the Torah is that they have the same diet. Ukishabo b'nei Noach, all this changes. Just one more, just give me just 2 minutes. Ukishabo, just hold up the questions for a couple of minutes. Ukishabo b'nei Noach, hitalahem abasa. The parsha we're going to read this week, Shenemar, ko renas asheru chai lachem yela achla, ki yerek esed masati lachem. It's called, again, the reference to Bereishis in Noach, but the expanded diet of basar. Ki yerek esed shitarti lachem arishon, hitarti lachem is called lashon rashi. V'chein pir sharab mesechet Sanhedrin, etc. V'kasher chatu, v'hishkis ko basar zdarko la'arts, whether Ramban understands this. Again, there are different views. There are those who see it the opposite way. There are those who claim that man proved himself so unworthy, essentially, you know, that he was a, you know, that he was a captive of his passions. So the lofty, the idealistic vegetarian diet is something that was no longer practicable, given man's inferior state. That's how some people understand the transformation. Ramban understands it differently. Ramban says, "Kasher chatu b'hishis kobasas darkol haaretz." Number one, animals contributed to the downfall of the world. They lost stature in that process. B'nigzar sheyamusu b'mavol u'bavur Noach hitzlamem l'kiyum amin. Moreover, he doesn't say it as two things. I'm saying it as two things. The Ramban says Noach preserved all the species, right? So his relationship to the animal kingdom changed at that point in time. So animals, you know, their status degraded. His status vis-a-vis them improved. And therefore, Nasa Lembrishus, Lishkot V'lachol Kikiyumam Ba'aburo. The Imkolzeh, says the Ramban, Lo Nita Lembrishus B'nefesh V'asar Eva Menachai. We'll see this in a moment in the Pesukim in Noach. It's almost like the Torah is telling you, not so fast. Just because it's a heter basar, don't think that that carries with it all sorts of other licenses. There are limitations. Wherever we find the heter, we find the limits as well. Mipneishu mamad l'nefesh. Dam. Ki nefesh kol basar damu b'nafshahu. V'amar l'bnei Yisrael dam kol basar lo tochelu. Ki nefesh kol basar damuhu. The flesh, which doesn't have a soul, is permitted. Lo nefesh atzma, the nefesh is associated with dam. The zetam hashchita, this is a very crucial Ramban for us. Ramban says already in Parshas Bereishis, this history of Iser at the time of Noah, at the time of Adam, and the heter post Mabul Noach is connected to the requirement of shchita. It's reflected in the bracha shemavarech asher kedushanu v'mitzvasav v'tzivanu al hashchita. We'll explain more fully as we go on. What is the Ramban referring to? The psukim in Noach. So what happens in Noach? That's this week's parsha. So we already know part of it. The aftermath of the Mabul is the recreation or the creation of a new world. It's a recreation. Whenever we encounter a new order, but the question arises, how new? How significant is the old order? Is it just relegated to a piece of history? Does it continue to influence us in any way, conceptually, hashkafically? How much innovation is there in this new world order post-Mabul? So what's fascinating is, if you look at the Pesukim, what we find is a certain dialectic. Things have changed, and certain things have stayed the same. Or maybe a better way to put it, precisely because there have been subtle but important changes, it's critical to reinforce the things that remain stable and remain crucial from before the Mabul that still are part of the new order, the prevailing order. And if you look at the Pesukim, that's exactly what's happening. But we know these Pesukim, Pru Urvu, from Bereishis. Why is it repeating? It's necessary to repeat because of the changes that have taken place. All bets are off. It's a new world. Anything that any issues in which there is continuity needs to be restated. Why? Because otherwise we're not sure if it prevails. B, in order to provide perspective for the changes themselves, so we understand that they're not as radical as we might think that they are. And hence, we're being told once again, pru rvu milos arts, language is a little different. Maybe the subtleties of language incorporate some of the changes. Umorachem b'chitchem yel kol chayis ha'aretz v'al of ha'shamayim v'al kol of ha'shamayim b'chol asher t'mos ha'adama b'chol d'gei ha'yam b'yedchem itanu. Now we're told, Rabban zeroes in on this, we'll see in a moment, umorachem b'chitchem yel kol chayis ha'aretz. We didn't see that in Bereishis. We were told, Hanan is sovereign, redu degubahem, but we weren't told that animals had an innate fear of a sense of trembling in the presence of man. That seems to be part of the new order of Noach. Kol remes asher uchai lachem yeh la'achla. This, of course, is a big change. The carnivorous diet. Ki yerek esef nasati lachem eskol. But then we're told, don't get carried away. Because with heter basar, one might think, comes free reign of passion and the total disrespect and disregard for other creatures. Both of these notions need to be rejected and rejected emphatically. And therefore we're told, Ach basar b'nafsho dama lo tochelu. This is Isar Dam. The achas dimchel b'nafsho seichem edrosh miyad kol chaya edroshenu u'miyad ha'adam miyad ish achiv edrosh es nefesh ha'adam. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech ki b'tzelem elokim asaz ha'adam. It's necessary to restate tzelem elokim, because once you can slaughter your fellow creature and you can eat from its meat, it sounds like a much more animalistic kind of lifestyle, the one which disregards other living beings. Maybe that will spill over into things like murder, right? Maybe human blood becomes cheaper in the process as well. Therefore, it's necessary to reiterate Tzelem Elokim and the Easter of murder. And once again to repeat, Atem Pru Urvu Shir Tzubar Tzurvuva. But part of this is, again, zeroed in on by the Ramban. Ramban says, the Soda Inyan, that's the next piece on the sheet. Ki be'esa yitzir nasan adam es kol esev zarea zera es kol esa sher bo priyetz la'achla nasan l'chaya es kol yerek esev la'achla v'amra kosev ayichein ki yu tivamu min agam. In the time of Adam, Ramban adds a point that he didn't mention in Bereishis. It was man's nature, right, not to crave meat and to be satisfied with the vegetarian diet. V'ata, kasher amar ba'adam, sheyishko tabalei chayim, v'husam b'teva u'b'minag, sheyu balei chayim zela zela achla. Once human nature and animal nature was changed in the aftermath of the Mabul, in other words, it's not just a heter, mankind is different. The natural order is different. Chutzruch letzavos, sheyu shar balei chayim l'bnei adam, teref l'shineyem, that accompanies a totally different relationship of morachem v'chitchem. V'amar v'achas dimchem v'naf shal seichem l'rmoz ki lo yidrosh dam chayim yad chaverta, also to tell you that one animal from another is no longer a murderer, right? Even if it seeks its prey. Im kei nishar b'hem litrov zu azu, not only is man, because of his superiority and the fact that he preserved all of the other animal species, not only does he have the right of meat diet, other animals as well. Their whole teva changes. The zetam is kiro isur shvichos damim bekan mipnei heter ashkita. Because now the truth is that the Ramban here is fascinating. It's not heter shkita, it's heter achilas basar. Is it really shkita? We'll get to that. Just like in Parshas Bereishis is already speaking about Birchas Shechita, but it's a little early. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, in the Gemara later on, in Daf Yud Zayin of an Aleph, and we'll get to it, that even in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael didn't require Shechita. They were allowed to eat al-yidei Nechira, whatever Nechira means, but Nechira Sassimani, meaning they weren't allowed to eat Eivor Menachai, that was prohibited to Noach already. But the word Shechita here is fascinating. It's foreshadowing what will be part of Taryag Mitzvos, and in particular, Kinesa Laris Yisrael. But that makes it even more interesting. That's what the Rabban is saying. That Isur Shfichos Damim is connected to Heter Shchita. Abo b'pnei HaShchita Hutzach Lomer Itarki Lachem Lishfok Dam Kol Chai Zulasi Dimchem She'osa Lachem V'lekol HaChayim Shalio Em Teva Lishfok Oso. What the Rabban is saying is these psukim are very meduyak. They have to reestablish the limits even as they expand the license. And that includes Shofech Dama Adam, murder, and a reminder of Tzelem Elokim. This idea of the Ramban, of how things change, is reiterated one more time in his Perush Al HaTorah in Vayikra, in the Parsha of Shchut Echutz. Before I get there, let me just add one other thing. The Torah tells us that there are Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach.
Right?
Well, we learn them, at least, from the Sukkim in Parshas Bereishis, and the last of them, Avraham and Achai, in Noach. It always occurred to me that it's strange, we call them Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Six of the seven really belong to Adam. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where he discusses the history, but if you just read the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, Nun Vav, Nun Zayin, where the Gemara discusses the history of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, six out of the seven were given to Adam. Why are they called Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach? It could be because his was the final one, so you can't call them Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Adam. It always occurred to me, I'm not sure if it's Drush or it's more than that, that there may be another reason, and that is that the personality of Noach captures the idea of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, I think, very precisely. Noach was a survivor. His main contribution was continuity. Again, I don't want to get too involved. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya b'darosav. But whether you are Dorish Lignai or L'shevach, either way, Noach ends up being a survivor. His greatest contribution is continuity itself. When he has to build a world, he fails. He gets drunk. What could have been accomplished by Noach is a lost opportunity. But what he does accomplish, he is the bridge from the old world to the new one. And his greatness is in his relative tzidkus, Tamim Haya B'Darosa. The last of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, Avraham Min Achai, reflects what Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are and the personality of Noach. Namely, Avraham Min Achai tells us, this is a Heter Basar, but it has to be offset by Avraham Min Achai. Heter Basar is not an absolute. The other Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach are absolutes. Avraham Min Achai is a compromise in the context of Achilas Basar. The whole Parsha, the Perek Tes of Bereishis, is about this compromise or balance between opening the floodgates to Heter Basar, ultimately to Shechita, and at the same time making sure that there remains a civilization which isn't barbaric, right? Which is regulated, which is stable, which has a certain potential for at least relative spirituality. I think it's exactly what Noach, the person, and his contribution are about as well. The history of Achilas Basar, as I say, is repeated by the Ramban in the Parsha of Shchut Echutz. And again, I think the patterns are just unmistakable. Some of them are picked up by the Ramban, others are in the Psukim themselves. Look at the Psukim very quickly. This is Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin. Vaydabra Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Daber al Aron del Banava, Kovenei Soma Talehem, Zea Davar Shatziva Hashem Lemor, Ish Ish mi Beis Yisrael, Asher Yishchat Shor al Kesev o Ez B'machaneh, person as a, let's assume for the moment that it's talking about a korban. It's not so simple really, but mostly Lodoros anyway, it's talking about a korban. A person has a korban. So we're told Vel Pesach O Moe Loivio, if he doesn't bring the korban to the Mishkan or to the Beis HaMikdash, Mahakriv Korban Lashem, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, Dam Yechashev Laishahu, it's considered act of blood. What does that mean? Dam shafach. It's like he spilled blood. The nichras haishahu nikarav amo. Wow. Torah says if you bring a korban b'chutz, outside of the Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, sounds like we're being told you're like a murderer. That you were mezalzel b'kadshim, that you, you know, squandered the opportunity of kadshim, that you were mechalal kadshim. I understand all of that. Why such harsh language, like you're a murderer? The kol nefesh asher tochal, then a few psukim later, 11 psukim later, the kol nefesh asher tochal nevelo trefa, whoever eats a nevelo trefa, ba'ezrach bager, v'chibes begadav rachatz b'mayim v'tameh ad erev v'taher. We're told something else fascinating. If you eat a nevela, meaning a dead animal without shkita, or a trefa, right, an animal which is sick, whatever trefa, however defined specifically trefa, doesn't have a heter shkita, let's say, then it's metame. Two questions. Number one, what's this a murder idea in the context of shkutei chutz? Secondly, what's the parsha of nevela and trefa, which apply to basar chulin? What's it doing in the end of the parsha of shkutei chutz, of a korban that you improperly do not sacrifice at the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash? What's going on here? So once again, the Ramban zeroes in. Again, if you have it on the same page, it's obvious, but you, when you read it, you know, and you look for it, you can really appreciate it even more fully. Ramban says, V'dam tam dan yechashev mimaisa bereshis. Ramban is bothered by this question. He obviously read his psukim. He said, what does this have to do with murder? So Ramban says, mimaisa bereshis yomar, hine b'kol balechayim zulasei adam atzisi damam kamayim luchumam kegalalim. Ramban says the history of Adam HaRishon is not relegated to, you know, some story of the past. It continues to have impact on our halachic thinking. Basically what Ramban is saying is, if you take a korban and you shecht it b'chutz, then we treat you like we would have treated somebody in the time of Adam HaRishon who killed an animal for food. And we would have treated that person in some respect like a shofech dam. Wow. So not only are we being told that the prehistory, pre-mabul, is still relevant, but what does that do with shkutei chutz? It's almost like Ramban is saying, if you misuse shechita, then the heter of Noach is off. Then you're back to pre-Adam HaRishon. That's a very powerful statement. Of course, if that's true, then maybe we can understand the next point of the Ramban. That's part of the psukim I mentioned, which is, what is Nevela and Trefa doing in the parsha of Shchutei Chutz? Shchutei Chutz Mdiav Kachim, and instead of bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash, you shecht it in your backyard. Terrible thing. We've just found out that it's a really terrible thing. What does that have to do with Nevelo Trefa? But now we understand, what we're really being told in this parsha is, Shechita is a heter, but it doesn't mean that Achilas Basar is not problematic. You have to elevate Achilas Basar. When you take Kachim and you treat it like Chulin, right, you're not elevating it. You're treating it like a piece of meat. Literally. And when you eat an animal like a piece of meat, a trefa or a nevela, where shkita doesn't work, then essentially that's the same as taking kachim and being shokhe b'chutz. In both cases, by exploiting improperly the heter basar, you are involved in activity which is pre-mabul in its nature. So the Ramban says something else. And why is dam prohibited? Ki nefesh habasar b'dam v'ani nasati v'lecha ala mizbeach. I'm sorry. V'tam dam yechashev. I thought I read it already. So the next one. Ki nefesh habasar b'dam v'ani, this is pasuk yud beis. V'ani nasati v'lechem ala mizbeach. Mashmuta kasa v'azeh sheyomar. She'aser lanu hadam. She'nitna lanu lios ala mizbeach. L'chaper al nafshoseinu. V'hu chelak Hashem k'tam achelav. Ramban says something amazing. Why is dam prohibited? Because dam in kadshim is supposed to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. It's like you're eating the chelek that belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom on the Mizbeach. But the Yisr of Achilas Dam isn't limited to Kachim. It applies to Chulin as well. So what do we see from this Ramban? That Shechita, that Macholos Asuros, the parallel and the potential of Kachim is a factor in how we understand the conditions to be Matir and Machshir Chulin. Okay, next paragraph. V'haro'i shenefarish v'tan yisuro, k'ashem barakal nivrahim ha-takhtonim v'tzorach ha-adam. He repeats his general thesis, but he adds several important lines. Even originally, man was created to be the apex of creation. Kihu levado bahem makir es boro. Only he is cognizant of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Only he can be an Obed Hashem in a certain way. V'yavo became lohito lehem achila metchila. However, that doesn't mean that you can eat your fellow creature. Rakat someach lo balei nefesh kesher bava parshas breishis. Shenemar, hinei nesati lechem kol esav zarei hazera. The kasher haya b'mabel shenitzolu b'zchusa shel Noach. Again, this idea that Noach gained not only in his stature, but also in his relationship specifically vis-a-vis the other animals. And then he adds several words which he didn't say in the other two places. V'hikriv mehem karban, and he was makriv a karban. V'haya l'ratzon lo, and the Rabbanu Shalom was happy with that karban. Hiti lahem ashchita. For the first time, the Ramban, in addition to the other things that he said, adds that the fact that Noach was first makriv a karban is significant to Heter Shechita. But Heter Shechita, to Imotzi Midei Nevelo Trefa, applies to Chulin as well as to Kachin. What are we being told? The fact that this is a mechanism, it's an avoda b'kachim, is part of what makes it mutar b'chulin, as we'll explain as we see. Similar to what he said about dam. K'mo she'amar kol remes asher uchay lachem yel akla, ki erek esav nasati lachem eskal, ki chiyusam b'avur ha'adam, v'hinei hitir gufam asher uchay b'avur ha'adam, she'ela hana'asa l'tzarcho shel adam, v'shetia nefesh shabem l'kapar la'adam, b'krevim in front of Yisbara, lo she'yochluhu, ki ein l'bal nefesh she'yochal nefesh. Very fascinating on that. Final paragraph of this point. L'chein tziva od l'chasos kol dam b'chayo ba'ov. Ramban says this is the reason why we have a concept of kisui adam, if you shech, not a behema. If you shech the behema, it's not kisui adam, because, says the Ramban, the behema normally goes on the mizbeach. And the dam goes on the mizbeach. But if you shech the chaya and an oath, there are very few ofos that are karbanos. Right? And even those that are, malika. So, oath is together with chaya. If you shech the chaya and an oath, there's kisui adam. Why? Ki lo yiskarev damam al mizbeach. But again, we're talking about Chulin. Meaning, what is the Ramban telling us? The parallel of Kachim drives the dinim of Chulin. Let's add two other Rambans quickly to our analysis. Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. That's the main Pasuk about Nevela. We already had one Pasuk about Nevela in the context of Shkutei Chutz and Trefa. Now we have another Pasuk. Osoku kol nevela, don't eat nevela, carcass. La gera sher b'sharecha titnena v'achala, rather give it to a non-Jew, right? O mechol anachri, ki am kadosh atol Hashem alakecha, lo sevashel gedi b'chalei bima. Fascinating pasuk. Don't eat a nevela, give it to a ger, meaning even a ger toshav, ki am kadosh atol Hashem alakecha, because you are a holy nation. Then we have an Isra of Basa B'Kal. So the Ramban notice what sticks out in this Pasuk, which is, Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem, you shouldn't eat in the Vela, and you shouldn't eat Basa B'Kal because you're an Am Kadosh Hashem Elokecha. So the Ramban, at least about the Basa B'Kal part, says, yes, the Tam, next piece, Pasuk Chabala, Ramban, Tam Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha, Daveik Im Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Kalei Bimo. Except the Ramban does something here which I wish he hadn't done. He says the words Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha refer to the second half of the Pasuk. It's very dochek to say that. The Asnachta is after Kiyam Kodesh Atah Hashem Elokecha, which means the two halves of the pasuk according to the trap is Es Kiyat Hashem Kodesh Atah Hashem Elokecha connected with the Vela, and then we're told Lo Sivashel Gedim Kalei Bimo. The Ramban is ignoring the trap and saying Kiyam Kodesh Atah Hashem Elokecha Lo Sivashel Gedim Kalei Bimo. That's how he's reading the pasuk. Why? Because he just can't believe it. Nevela, do you need the explanation or the justification of Kiyam Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha? It's a nevela. So Raman says, as for Basa B'chalav, Kiyinina Machol Nitav, Aval Yasar Oso Li Osenu Kedoshim B'machalim. Basa B'chalav, what's wrong with Basa B'chalav? If Basa's okay and Chalav's okay, what's wrong with Basa B'chalav? It's not inherently repugnant or problematic. But kiyam kadosh atal Hashem elokecha, the sign of our kedusha. Only osenu kedoshim shloniya machzari lo yirachemu shenichlo v'saim v'notzi nimenu achelav hachalav rather shenivasha bohaben. Afal bishu kol basa b'chalav yikonis b'lav ze ki kol menekes tikare aim v'kol yonek tikare gedi v'uderech bishu hine b'kulam avzari. Basically, the Ramban is contorting the pasuk in order to justify kiyam kadosh atal Hashem elokecha. But if you look at the Sparno says the Ramban's idea. He says, obviously, that's the idea of Nevela. There's nothing per se wrong with Nevela. It's a function of Kedushas Klal Yisrael. The truth is, Ramban says the same thing about Trefa. And it can't be a coincidence that the Torah, when it speaks about Trefa, has exactly the same formulation. Look at Shmos Perek Chavdeis Pasuk Lamed. Anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li, right, be men of Kedusha, Ubasa B'sada Trefa, Lo Tochelu Lakela Tashlichu Noso. So here we're talking about Trefa, right, the younger cousin of Nevela. And once again, the Torah speaks in terms of Kedusha, not Tiyuv or Miyus. And Ramban again picks up on it. Ramban says, Tamakasa Vazet. Till now we're speaking about repugnant macholas asuros. What's wrong with eating it? Sustains life. The isurim are a function of kedusha, not of repugnance. We're worried about our spiritual impact of what we eat, not the physical. Rabbanu Shalom says, I want you to be worthy of me. Don't behave in a way that is, inconsistent. That's why you can't eat shvatzim and shvatzim. And then we're told this condition of yisam kadoshim ki kadosh ani. Hine ashvatzim b'shaksim anefesh. Hatreifa ein b'shikutz avo yesh b'shmir menu kedusha. If you put the two ambans or the two psukim together, it sounds like the Torah is going out of its way to say about nevela and treifa that they are dinim of kedusha, not of tiyuv and sheketz. So let me add one other point to this. Pasuk says, lager asher b'sharecha, about a nevela, titnena. But who's the ger? Not a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is a full Jew. He's not allowed to eat nevela. Who are we talking about? A ger toshav. A ger toshav is the highest level, right, under a Jew, under a Ger Tzedek, the highest level is Ger Toshav. He's a Ben Noach plus. And what exactly does it mean to be a Ger Toshav? So there's a debate in the Gemara, what does it mean to be a Ger Toshav? I produce the Gemara here, as it happens. About Azara Samach Dalet over days. Gemara says, Ezehu Ger Toshav. Who's a Ger Toshav? So there are different views. One is Kol Shekibal Olav Bifnei Gimel Chaverim Shalol Avod Avodas Kochavim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says, of course, a Ben Noach is not allowed to be an idolater. But if you proclaim that in front of a dozen of your peers, so not only are you a good ben Noach, you're a ger toshav too, because you proclaimed it and affirmed it in the presence of a formal body. Okay. Chachamim omrim kol shekibel alav sheva mitzvot shekibel leim b'nei Noach. The Kabbalah isn't just about avodah zarah; it's about all sheva mitzvot b'nei bezin shel chaveh. Good. Acherim omrim elu lo bo lechal ger tosha. Just because you affirm in the presence of others, which are the obligated, which is sheva mitzvot, that doesn't make you a ger tosha. Ezu ger tosha, the ger ochel levelos. Wow. According to one day in the Gemara, what is a ger toshav? Everything but nevela. If you look in the Yerushalmi, Nevamos is even stronger. It sounds like he should eat nevela. Not only does he allow to eat nevela. The Rambam doesn't accept this definition, but if you look at Rashi, in most places in Shas, not all, most, and in Perushal HaTorah all over the place, Rashi accepts this definition. Ger Toshav is Misha Ochel Nevelos. It's fascinating. Why Nevelos more than anything else? But in light of the Psukim and Ramban's Ha'ara, or half of his Ha'ara about Nevela, his full Ha'ara about Trefa, which is that the Psukim, when they speak about Nevela and Trefa, what do they speak about? Kedushas Yisrael. It's almost as if then, when you put it together, what we're being told is, the dividing line between a highest level ben Noach, a ger toshav, and Klal Yisrael, Kedushas Yisrael, is reflected in the Yisur Nevela, the Chiyuv Shechita, the Yisur Treifa. Why? I think the answer is precisely because it goes back to the idea of the Ramban. Noach and Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach was an Isra Eber Menachai. Eber Menachai is Asur, but Nevela is Mutter. That was a compromise. For Klal Yisrael, the Heter of Achilas Basar required one further giant step, and that is Shechita. And that precisely, I think, because Shechita is associated with the world of Kodshim. And therefore, what differentiates a ger toshav from a ger tzedek is precisely nevela, trefa, shechita. When the Torah wants to speak about unfinished business, where you've invested, but you haven't gotten yet the payoff, so the Torah has several examples of this. In Devarim here, Perek Chavches, Pasuk Lamed, Isha Ta'ares, Isha Cher, Yishkavena, Bayis Tibaneh, Loteshevo, Kerem Tita, Velotachala. You put in an investment, right? You build a house, you don't get to live in it. Right? You cultivate the field, you never reap the benefits. You do the Eirusin, some years ago we spoke about that, right? Eirusin is the Oser, it creates even greater distance initially between husband and wife, but you never get to the point of the Nisun. What an unfulfilled tragedy. So what's the next pasuk? Sharcha tavuach le'einecha v'lo tochal mimenu. Tzvicha, shechita, is the matir, it's the investment for achilas basar. So that's what Ramban means when he says, part of the change in the time of Noach is the fact that the first thing was to bring a korban. Before I go on, there was a question which we took care of it, or? Okay.
I just said parenthetically.
Yeah.
Going to that definition of Munah, I don't know if the point is still there. How could a guy do all the mitzvahs and not only Shabbat Shabbos?
Right, so we have to explain, you know, whether this is all or just the things in which there's no reason. Right. And they discuss it in that context. Again, you know, things that are, you know, obviously, if there are other obstacles, then that's going to be, you know, kaveh. But the point is that in the Nevela, there's no obstacle, there's no Iser, and yet there's no Kiyum either. But exactly what a guy, you know, can, should do is very debatable. Right? Obviously, Shabbos, Goy Shabbos, we say, Meschai ben Afsho, there are a few other things, but right, it's a good question. Okay, but we'll leave it for now because I don't want to get too far afield. Now, okay, so far we've tried to develop the idea basically that there is something called a time of Adam there was an Isser Achilas Basar, then to Bnei Noach there was given a concept of Eivor Menachai. I should also mention that the definition of Eivor Menachai for a Jew and for a non-Jew is also a little bit different. There are some differences. For example, for a Jew, Eivor Menachai doesn't apply to Behema Tmeya, to a non-kosher animal, only to a kosher animal. Whereas to Ben Noach, it's more expansive. Also, is an afkmina in terms of Nifar Cheses, a sugya which we'll get to in the next couple of weeks, when the animal is still, after the Shechita, but the animal is still twitching, I guess is the right definition. So, what is the status with regard to Eivor Menachai? There too, there might be differences between Yisrael and a non-Jew. These differences have to be understood. It could be that the differences are technical because since Klal Yisrael has many more definitions, Yisurim, so other things cover some of the cases and some of the discrepancies. Or the point may be that the role of Eivor Menachai for Jew and non-Jews is quite different. Again, for non-Jew, Eivor Menachai is standing between him and Tzelem Elokim, in a way, if you take the psukim in the context of Noah, compared to Tess and Bereshis. Whereas for Klal Yisrael, as we discussed, it's much more complicated. There's Eivor Menachai, there's Nenela, there is Trefa. So that's one issue that needs to be investigated. The other issue is, I just mentioned very quickly, and that is regarding Trefa. Part of my development so far is to compare Nevela and Trefa in terms of the role of Kedushas Yisrael. But just a word just to highlight that. There are two perspectives on what Trefa is. The simple shot is, one would have thought, that Trefa is an Isur b'fnei atzmo. If you have an animal which is not healthy, and it's not going to live, it's called a Trefa. And you're not allowed to eat, just like you're not allowed to eat chazir, and you're not allowed to eat chaleb, and dam, and pigol, and nosar, so you're not allowed to eat trefa either. If that's the case, then it has very little to do with my presentation. What does that have to do with nevela? We say nevela trefa, but really, trefa is a category in its own right. My presentation from before, which is that it's not a coincidence that both of these isurim are mentioned in the context of shkutei kohanim, A, and B, they're both mentioned in the Torah separately in a context of Kedushas Yisrael, is based on the following idea. The Rambam in Hilchos She'er Avos HaTuma compares Trefa to Shechitas Akum. Rambam says if a non-Jew shechts an animal, it has the equivalent status of a Trefa. These are the issues of Tuma. So Reb Chaim was very bothered by this, and this, among other rayas, led him to the conclusion that trefa is not an independent isar, but that if an animal is a trefa, the way it works is the heter of shechita doesn't work on that animal. If you want to see it inside, it's in the stencils as a piece of it. It's also in the Kiddusha Griz al Rambam. The letters in the back, Rav Velbo has a letter to this effect, and I think it's also a piece in the Chidushe in the Igros HaGrid that was obviously more recently published. I think he has a piece on this as well. A bunch of rayas, but at least according to the Rambam, the idea of trefa is not an independent isur, but trefa means it's an animal in which shechita will not work. So basically, the flaw is the shechita. That's why the Rambam compared trefa to shechitas akum. In both cases, the problem is in the inability of the shechita to be makshir and to be mati. If that's the case, then the fact that the Torah speaks about both trefa and nevela, both in the context of shkutei chutz, and in terms of kedusha, would work well according to what I'm proposing. Okay. Having said this, where does the Torah first speak about shechita in a normative context? So far I've done the history a little bit. Bereishis, Noach, okay, Shechutei Chutz, obviously, it comes up, but Shuta Chutz in the negative. And then we spoke about Nevela and Trefa, where they appear and how they appear, etc. Where does the Torah speak about it in terms of actual Hetzer Achila, in a Jewish context, in other words? Both in the context of Karbanos. In Shmos, in the context of Korban Pesach. Torah tells us in Perek Yud Beis and Shmos, I'm skipping the Vayikra for the moment. You know what? I'll start with the Vayikra. In Vayikra, we're told, in the context of Ola, right in the beginning of the Parshas of Karbanos, V'shachat az ben ha-bakar lefnei Hashem, v'yikrivo b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es Adam, v'zarko es Adam ala mizbeach saviv, asher Pesach oel moed. We're told that the first thing you do to a Karban, after the Sicha, if you're leaning on it, maybe Bidui, is Shechita. And this is a very important pasuk, not only because it tells us about the role of Shechita in a Karban, this is a dialectical pasuk. Torah says, V'shachad es bana bakar lefnei Hashem, and then it says, V'krivo b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es Adam v'zarek es Adam ala mizbeach. So the Torah's Kohanim and the Gemara in Zvachim, Rashi quotes it also, they learn from this pasuk, since the pasuk only mentions b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim in the context of holachas, kabbalas, and zrikas Adam, after the Shechita, mikan amru Shechita Kshera Bezal. Which means that even though normally avoda has to be done by a Kohen, the Shechita of a Korban can be done by a Zar. So on the one hand, that's what I mean, it's a dialectical pasuk. On the one hand, the first normative Shechita appears in the context of Korban Pesach and then in Vayikra Korban Ola, regular Korbanos. On the other hand, it's diluted a bit as an avoda, or maybe it's diluted because it's Kshera Bazar. It's also the first of the avodos and also has certain extra dinim. For example, the Mishnah says in Zvachim and then Vamadeis, the Mishnah says that there are five different applications of Lishma and a Karban. L'shem Reyach and L'shem Nichoach, all sorts of things. When the Rambam quotes them, at least as understood by the Mishnah Melech, the Rambam Maisa Karbanos, when he quotes these things, it sounds like only Shechita, not the other Avodas. In general, there are certain special dinim of Shechita and Avoda. So there are Chumras of Shechita in a Karban, and there are Kulos, namely Zar, Isha, etc. But nonetheless, this is a very important pasuk. The earlier times, they say, is in the context of Korban Pesach. They were told, Vayalachem l'mishmeres, ar-arba, sayom l'chodesh hazeh, shachto oso kol kahal adas Yisrael, bein arbay, shchitas korban pesach. Those of you here, we were in the shir a couple of years ago, we learned Kedusha, the second parak of Kedusha. So we'll remember, hopefully, that one of the sources for shlichos is shchitas korban pesach. Because the Torah says, v'shachatus pasach, shachto oso kol kahal adas Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael is doing Shechita. It's not true, because there are chaburas. In a Korban Pesach, they divided up into little groups, and one person did for each group. So you see that it's considered Shluchos Shel Adam Kimos. What we discussed at the time was, there are other Mepharshim who say, in general, Shechita of a Korban requires Shlichos. Maybe it's a special din in Korban Pesach. In general, Shechita has a special role in Korban Pesach beyond the other avodos, because Ikaro Bachila, the din of Shalola Minuyav, the din of Chabura itself, the fact that they break up in groups. You have to pick what group you're in. You can change your mind and you can sign up only for the Shechita. The Shechita is the chasima for being in and being in a particular Chabura. As a result, also Shalola Minuyav, L'shem Arel, certain psulim of Shechita apply specifically to Korban Pesach, they don't apply elsewhere. Ikaro L'achila. So, the point is that Shechita has a special role to play in Korban Pesach, which is even different than regular Kabbalah. So this will play a part later on. But the point is that, and again, Pasuk says later on in Perikid Beis, Vayikar Moshel Kol Zeknei Yisrael, Yer Malhem Bishku, Kulachem Tzon Mishpachotekem, the Shachat Pesach. The Rambam doesn't quote in the Mishnah Mitzvos, or in his Koteret, in Mishnah Torah, a mitzvah of Shchitas Karbonos. It says, do the Karbon the way it's supposed to be done, do the Avod of the Karbon, with the exception of Korban Pesach. In the Koteret, Ram speaks about Shchitas Korban Pesach separately. In Sefer Mitzvos, it's actually language is a little different. Atzias HaPesach, it's a little bit different. But there are indications that the Rambam specifically thinks that Shchitas Pesach, as opposed to other Korbanos, is a separate mitzvah. Shchita plays a very important role in Korban Pesach. The point is that in Shemos and in Vayikra, we encounter the heter of Shchita for the first time in two contexts. One Korban Pesach, the other regular Korban, Korban Olam. Okay, our time is almost up. Where do we finally get to Shchitas Chulin? We'll continue with this next week. Oh, only when we reach Dvarim, Parshas Re'eh. What's fascinating is there are two candidates, two psukim that are candidates for the Mokar of Shchitas Chulin in Parshas Re'eh. They sound almost identical. And surrounding both psukim, there is controversy. I'll explain what I mean just very quickly. Give me one more minute. And then we'll just go back to what we started with for a second, and then we'll continue next week. The first is Pasuk Tezvah. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, you see, Dvarim Perikid Beis, Pasuk Tezvah. By the way, everybody hold on to these, so you won't have to copy them for next week. Everybody just hold on. Rak b'chol avas nafshecha, tizbach v'achalta basa kibirkat Hashem alokecha. When you want to eat meat, tizbach, do shchita, v'achalta basar, you can eat meat. The Rashbam and Ibn Ezra say about this pasuk, I'll just tell you briefly now, we'll develop it more next week, that this refers to basar taiva, basar chulin. However, Rashi, the Sifrei, say it doesn't refer to that at all. It refers to psulei amukdashim. A carbon which developed the mum, which can't be brought as a carbon, you're allowed to eat it. But it used to be a carbon. That's what this pasuk is talking about. Now look at pasuk chav. Ki yarchav Hashem alokechas gevucha asher diber lach, v'yomar ta'ochla basar ki ta'aveh nafshecha. I want to eat meat. I'm way far away from the Beis HaMikdash. Lecho basar b'chol avas nafshecha, tochal basar, you can eat it. When you're far away from the mikdash, v'zavachta, you'll shech mibkarecha mitzonecha, ashenosan Hashem lecha kasher tzibisicha, v'achalta b'sharecha b'chol avas nafshecha. Rashi, the Sifrei, the Rambam, all say this is the source for shchitas basar chulin. And we'll read it next time. Just look very quickly. The Rambam, you can see it right away. Forget Rambam, read Rashi. Rashi pasuk chaf. Zavachta kasher un second. B'chalavas nafshecha, the middle one. Aval b'midbar nesalem basar chulin. Elim kein magdisha makriv ashlamin. If you look at the Rambam very quickly, just one more minute. The Rambam in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph v'chashchita on the last page, on page 4. Mitzvah haseh sheyishkot mi sheyirtza lecho basar behem achaya v'ot. Everybody have that? First entry on page 4. Mitzvah haseh sheyishkot mi sheyirtza lecho basar behem achaya v'ot. V'achar kach yokal, shenamar v'zavachta mitkarecha u'mitzonecha. That's his pasuk. What's fascinating, read on in the Rambam, the Nemar bibchor ba'mum ach kasher yochel asatzviva asayal. The Rambam does an amazing thing. On the one hand, he says that the pasuk is talking about basar chulin. Then a second later, he says the pasuk is talking about a bechor, which develops a mum. The Gemara in chulin itself, you'll take my word on it today, and daf chav chesam and aleph, says that this pasuk chav and chav aleph, are speaking about psulei amukdashim. Rashi there says it's against the Sifrei, and implicitly is perish al haTorah. In other words, the psukim that are best candidates for basar chulin are also speaking about failed kadshim, according to some of Farshim. Point one. Point two. What is kasher tzivisicha? So Rashi and the Gemara in Chulin, again I'll elaborate next time, So it means the details of shechita, where you do it, which simanim, how much, right, anatomy. However, the Ramban and the Sifrei, kasher tzidisicha means in Vayikra, shechitas kadshim. The Rambam doesn't interpret kasher tzidisicha that way, but he also links it to kadshim in Sefer Mitzvot, Kuf Mem Vav. We'll read these next time. What's my point? We began with the question, why is Chulin in Seder Kodeshim? And why is the first case of Mishnah in Chulin a case of Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh and Kodeshim? But it turns out, both in history and in concept, that the idea of Achilas Basar Aydei Shechita, of Kedushas Yisrael, is all about taking something which is an avoda, the Kodeshim, and applying it to Basar Chulin in order to elevate what would have been a problematic practice and to make it into a Davar Shebikdusha. And that's why Chulin is perfectly in Kodeshim. So we'll continue with this idea with these Pesukim. Here's our next one.